Do you okay? Hear me? Can you hear me? You can? Okay. Yeah. Come on through. Doing good. How y'all doing there? All right. Now we got it. Okay. That's not too loud, is it? Okay. Because I might holler every now and then. Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. Let's get ready, and we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will go into class, okay? All right. Father, we just thank you this morning, Lord, for an opportunity to share your word, Lord, and we thank you, Lord God, that your presence is already here, Lord. So we just thank you right now, Lord God, for what you're going to do and say. We just look to you, and we depend upon your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you would, turn your Bibles to Hebrews, if you would. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. We kind of laid a little foundation last week on the fixing your eyes on Jesus. Okay. Okay, I'll begin reading at the first verse. It says, "Therefore, since we have a so great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every weight or sin which so easily entangles us or ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." And notice the way that he sets this up is he's almost like he's talking to a runner, okay? And is he talking to a marathon runner, or is he talking to a 100-dash runner? Marathon, okay? And do everybody know what a marathon race is, first of all? What did you say, Brother Lee?
I said it's a long
race. It is. In the marathon race, there's a lot of different, what, obstacles also. You know, you might go up a hill, you might go down a hill, you might go around a, you know, it just depends on how it's set up.
Hey, John?
Yes.
The history of marathon was the Greek runner, because the Persians were trying to take on the Greek, which is the Western culture. Mm-hmm. And then one, we wouldn't have the Western culture.
Okay.
And he ran like 23 miles, and when he got there with the message that the Persians were there against the Athenians and the Spartans, he died.
Oh, Lord.
He ran with the message at any cost.
Yeah. Okay.
That's
encouraging. Thanks. Okay. Well, that's a promise, too, so we got that, right? All right. Thank you, Brother Tim. Okay. But notice me, he's telling us to lay aside, you know, one of those words, what it means is things that cling to us, you know, that he wants us to lay aside all these things that cling to us, you know, and how many know a weight is not so much of a sin, it could just be a habit or something that you need to lay aside that is not productive, okay, you know, and which we know that sin, we lay it aside also. But I like what he says, let us run with endurance, okay? Another word for that word endurance is what?
For the direction.
For the direction, okay. Another word, start with a P.
Patience.
Patience.
Don't have it.
But you're going to get it, right? Right, okay. And one translation says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Why do we need patience?
Self-control,
good one, yes.
Faith and patience.
Okay, all right, okay.
Fruit of the Spirit,
okay. All right. Another reason why we need patience, I mean, you know, patience is sort of like a pillar for faith. You know, the Bible said, you know, with patience, you know, we wait for the promise that has been promised to us, okay? And sometimes when we're waiting, It just don't mean that you do nothing or you exist to have actions or do anything. What it means is that you're resting in God. You're resting in the promises of God. That's why it's so important that we understand the promises of God. Why? Because when it don't seem like God is doing anything, but we have his promise, we can rest in the promise. Okay? And what patience does, it undergirds our faith. It keeps us focused, believing what God's promise have said, that he's not a man, that he what? Should lie, or the son of man, that he shall repent. All right? And his promises are in him what? Yes, and amen. Okay? So that's why it's so important as a believer that we get the promises of God. Why? Because God's promise, when God promised you something, how many know he's not going to renege? So it's very important that we stand on the promises and not on assumption. Assumption. You know, God is good and he's, you know, but what promise do you have that God is good? Yes, sir. Yes. Good. Exactly. You know, so timing is what?
A lot.
A lot. Okay. Go with me to Romans 1 second here. As Lee was talking, this scripture just came to my mind. I think it's in Romans 14. It's still dealing with patience, okay? It's 15, I'm sorry. Yeah, 15. Romans 15 and verse 4, okay? Listen to this. It says, "For whatsoever was written in earlier times was written for our instructions." Now, this is a New American Standard. Who has a New King James Standard? Anybody?
I have New King James.
Okay. That's fine. What do yours say? Romans 15, verse 4.
"For whatever things were written before were written for our learning."
Okay. All right.
"Through the patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope."
Okay. Anybody else got a different translation?
I have a New Living version.
You have the New Living. Okay, what do you all say? And then I come to you, Miss Cindy.
"Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us."
Okay.
"Give us hope and encouragement as we wait."
Long ago. Okay. Right, Miss Cinder, what did you all say?
"For whatever was thus written in former days was written for our instruction, that by this is in advance, our steadfast and patient endurance and the encouragement drawn from the scriptures we might hold fast to and share."
Okay. Okay. All right. Now notice it said in older times, what you all said long ago. Who's had, what did you all say? I'm sorry. Okay. All right. Who else got something else on that? Okay. All right. Listen. Okay, I'm going to read it again. "For whatsoever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction." What is earlier times?
Oh, now. Yes.
The past? Old Testament. That's it right there. Okay. All right, so a lot of people say, well, you know, we don't need the Old Testament. How many know we don't live by the Old Testament? Okay, we don't live by the Old Testament, right? But we can learn from the Old Testament, okay? What can we learn from it? What about Daniel? What about Daniel? You say, what about Daniel? Prophecies, okay, yes. But what about Daniel was this. He was so dedicated to his God, he refused to bow at the command of the kings to not pray. Remember, they couldn't get nothing on Daniel, so what they did was they said, well, we got to get something against him and his God. So they said, "O king, live forever. No one pray to anything but you." And when the king decreed that, guess what Daniel did? When Daniel heard of the decree, he turned his face and looked towards where?
Jerusalem.
Why? Because Solomon had already said, "God, if anybody pray looking towards this way, you hear them." So guess what Daniel did? He turned his face and did what? Prayed anyway. What can we learn from that? We need to do what? The Bible says, pray without what?
Ceasing.
Don't be afraid what the enemy is trying to bring to you, to distract you, or to entangle you from following Christ. Okay? What is another good example of the old one? Yes. Right. Exactly. Good point. Yes. Exactly. You know, and that's what God is. God is the same God. The Bible says he's the same what? And forever. Okay. So what is another one that we can learn from? Good one. Shadrach, Meshach. How many know that they were put to the fire? But they said, "Oh, king, not even if our God don't deliver us, we ain't bowing to your music. We ain't dancing to your music." All right? What is another one?
Well, the whole Old Testament tells of Christ to come.
Yeah.
So it's not like Jesus just popped on the scene. It was already foretold. And that's a threat through the whole word. It's
yeah.
That crimson threat.
Yeah.
So when you realize that, it's like, wow, okay, God.
Okay. No,
it
just, yeah, from generation to generation. Yeah, exactly. But what are some of the examples that we can glean from?
Not to do.
Genesis chapter 3
and Revelation 12 explains what's going on right now in Israel.
Yes, okay. Okay, so the Bible is full of the prophetic. I mean, it's what's unveiling now, like the brothers, what's unveiling now is in the scriptures. But what we're trying, what I want you to look at here, what scriptures can we gain hope from? Job. There he is. Why? Because he suffered, but he didn't turn his back on God. Even though he didn't understand what was going on, he never turned his back on God. Okay? And if you grab hold of this, I mean, we're kind of going in this direction now to where you're going to have to know your God. See, that's right. And that's another good one. David. Why? He knew his God. See, and what the scriptures is teaching us, listen to what it's saying, because we're talking about patience. It says, "For whatsoever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance," or through patience, "and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be the same mind with one another according to Christ." What does that mean? Encouraging one another. Say, how many could just say, "I can use some encouragement"? Every one of us can. Why? We don't need to be flattered, but we can be encouraging. See, there's a difference in just flattering you and encouraging you. I mean, you know, flattery is really just lying. You don't mean what you say, but when you encourage a person, I mean, you know, it got to come from the heart, that compassion that Christ gives us, that I encourage my brothers and sisters. Why? Because I got to consider myself. Right? Okay? See, and if I sow encouragement, guess what I'm going to reap? Okay? See, if I sow encouragement, I'm going to reap encouragement. You say, "Well, when are you going to reap it?" How many plant a seed and you go out there the next day and expect fruit? So I can't tell you when it's going to happen. I can tell you to sow the seed. Now, let me share something with you with that. This is where, as believers, we have to mature and begin to understand that all things are not about, all things that come is not of the devil. Some things is our own sowing. So, yes, ma'am. Okay.
I mean, really.
Okay.
It's not that one. It's given power.
Yeah.
It's choices we make. Yep.
And that's what it's all about. See, we got to get to the place where we begin to embrace the scriptures in such a way, you know, and I'm not saying that I have arrived. I'm not saying that, but I'm learning. Okay? I'm learning. I got to be careful what I sow or what I say. You said, how did you get from that? Because the scriptures is what we need to be speaking, okay? Well, you mean when I go to work, I got to speak scripture. Come on, let's put a balance to it, okay? What do you go to work for?
But your attitude shows your word, too.
Yes, ma'am, it should. But what do we go to work for? We go to work to work. I learned this years ago because I messed up, okay? I can talk about John, right? Okay. I was working, and I had just got saved. And I was reading through the New Testament, and you know, on my break, I was reading. So on my break, I had went 15 minutes over from the time to go back to work. And so the supervisors come to me, Miss Debbie, and he says, my middle name is Thomas, okay? So they call me Thomas. He said, Thomas, you're 15 minutes behind on your job here, son. I said, don't you know I'm a Christian? I got to read my Bible? Big mistake. Okay, that wasn't the right answer. He said, he came in and he looked at me. He said, son, let me tell you something. We hired you to work. You can read your Bible on your break, but when it's time to go to work, work. I said, okay. So if I'd have got fired, oh, Miss Faye here, I say. But what was going on here? God was teaching me, and he was growing me up to realize, look, just because you are a Christian don't give you special privilege when you got a job to do. You should be better on the job because you are a Christian. Why? Because that's honoring the authority that's over you. So many people think, well, I'm a Christian. I can just do what I... No, you can't. You got to come under the authority of what God put the authority there, but how many know we got to submit to our employers? You know, just because you're a Christian don't give you special privileges. Good. Yes, ma'am. Exactly. And my sister was saying here, you know, it's our attitude, you know. And I mean to know that when we as Christians, you know, and I know I'm kind of getting going on a rabbit trail here, but I just hit it and I'm going for it. But anyway, when we're Christians, how many know we should be more honoring and respectful than the world is? But sometimes it's the opposite. You know, it's almost like, well, let's move on. Okay. But we have hope in the scriptures, okay? And that's what the scriptures, when we're talking about Hebrews, that endurance, okay? Because we're going to go through some things, but I mean, no, we need patience. See, the Bible said we need patience so that it would give us that solid foundation to wait for God and not get ahead of God. Okay? Yes, sir.
Just going back to a couple of the Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they were in captivity.
Sure, yep.
I mean, they did that in captivity. We're in freedom.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Okay.
But imagine that. You're under really bad authority.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people that served other gods.
Right.
So they really had to really be in tune.
With God.
End up in a situation like that where we've got
them. Yeah. Yeah. And exactly. How many know that we're serving the same God? Okay, we're serving God, Jehovah, the God that created the moon and the star. We are serving Almighty God. Okay, and we are his what? Representations here in the earth. Okay, so when he's talking about having patience, this is one of the things that we have to develop in, because we normally don't have it. We're not born with it. Why? Because when we're born, we hurry up and grow up. Hurry up and get out of the house. I mean, everything is hurry, hurry, hurry. Okay? But I mean, you know, we need to develop patience. All right? Don't pray for it. I'm going to give you a scripture for this, okay? Go with me to Romans 5. Never pray. This is one prayer. There you go. Okay. Notice what it says in Romans 5, okay? It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained the introduction of our faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Watch this. And not only this, but we also exalt our rejoice in tribulation. I didn't hear no amens on that. We rejoice in tribulation. What is another twin scripture to that? That should be easy. Give Brother James some applause here. What did he say? Count it all joy when you fall in what? Various trials, various tribulations. When you fall into these things, count it joy. Amen. How can you count it joy, James? Come on, give us a break here. Okay, I'm going to be joyful in tribulation. Knowing that tribulation brings about what? You can say it. Patience. Okay? As one scripture, I can't call it up, but you might know where it says, through patience, you possess your soul. It's in one of the Gospels. I don't know exactly where it says. Somebody Google and it'll give you the scripture for it. But it says, in patience, you possess your soul, mind, will, and emotions. Through patience. So, do we have need of patience? Yes. Do we have need to persevere? Yes. Do you know the word persevere means to not come unglued or not come, don't be shattered when you're tested. Tribulation is that narrow place that we go in from time to time. And how many know that it's not so much of God doing it, but Jesus warned us that in the world you will have tribulation. But he didn't stop there. He said, do what? Be of good cheer. Be encouraged, for I have overcome the world. See, and John says this, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Think about it. So, when you talk about faith, I mean, in Hebrews 11, before we get to 12, Hebrews 11 is encouraging us how some went and died for what? Hey, Rebecca. What was that? Oh, okay. By faith, they endured. By faith, they conquered. See, faith, and faith is more, the American faith is all about what we can get. See, but faith is really trusting God in spite of what you see. Now faith is the substance of things those hope for and the evidence of those things not seen. So faith is what we believe. It's a belief. This is what I believe. I'm convinced. I'm persuaded that what God said is going to come to pass, regardless of my circumstances, I have faith to believe whatever God says is going to come to pass. Now, patience plays a big part in that. Why? Because by patience, we wait for the promise of God, not inactive, not doing anything, just sitting there waiting, but we're resting in what God has said. Does this make sense to you? So what he's saying here is that tribulation is going to do what? It's going to cause me, it's going to bring about perseverance or patience. Listen to this, and perseverance or patience, proving character. And proving character, hope. See, and it's not so much what God is doing when we're going through, okay? When we're going through things, when we're going through tribulation, you know, what God is really doing is developing character within us. See, and character, what character does is it strengthens you. It builds you up, okay? See, when there's character in a person, you know, I'm telling you, when a person finds a person of character, you know, it ain't no telling what favor is on your life when you have character. See, we can have all the gifts but have not character. Guess what? Paul said we just like tingling cymbals. See, but when we have character, and what God is doing is building his character within us, the characteristics of God. Yes, a solid foundation. That what when we go through things, we don't come unglued like I used to, okay? Have a pity party. Ain't nobody praying. Lord, they ain't shake my hand. So what? Shake theirs. Okay, so what am I saying here is that all these things that we're talking about is, how many know it is important to understand that when we're going through, God is not angry with you. See, God is not angry with you because you go through things. How many know we live in a corrupt world and we're surrounded by corrupt people? And how many know corrupt people do corrupt things? Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's still our choice.
Exactly. And that's the power of choice. We're not like animals, but we have a choice. We can choose not to go through it, but let me forewarn you, you're going to take the test again. It's coming around again. So you can go past it this time, or guess what? God will say, okay, I'll give you another opportunity. God, why do this keep happening? Have anybody ever said that? Okay. But I mean, when you grew up and began to go through it the way God wants you to, I mean, you know, it doesn't bother you as much as it did before. See? And that's what I want to convey to you, that God is, a lot of people think, well, God put this on me. How many know, how can God that died for your healing put sickness on you? How can a God that wanted to give you joy want to make you sad?
He
allows it, but it's not him instigating this.
Well, if you think about a mother in anticipation for birthing a child, mm-hmm. It takes 9 months for that child to form. You're transforming.
Uh-huh.
You're going to be detoxified from the things that have weighed you down.
Uh-huh.
You're going to go back and you're going to hear all those repetitive words that told you no, that you weren't good enough.
Uh-huh.
And the voice you have to tune in to align yourself with God is his voice.
Yes. Okay, yes.
So to reprogram mm-hmm. and use something like that, mm-hmm. it transforms you, but you don't transform overnight.
Exactly.
Like you said, you can't have your seed and it grow overnight.
Okay. Exactly. And that's the key to Christianity, is being conformed into the image of Christ. That's the purpose of God. That's his purpose.
The pain, the suffering, and that's why we have to rejoice, is that he's changing. He's taking mm-hmm. that bottle away that's got the
Yeah, not the Drano. Okay. All right. So any questions there before I move on with this? Because what we have to understand is that when we read this, he's saying that it's a race, it's a journey. See, and you just don't, a marathon, you just don't start and finish like the 100-yard dash. Like Lee said, it's long, okay? Now, what we have to understand, though, as we are on the journey, we're going to face different obstacles. We're going to have different circumstances, okay? But guess what? The circumstances don't have to stop me. Just because I go through something, I don't have to give in to it. Like my sister was saying here, that our choices, see? And when we begin to understand that how important it is to do what? Make right choices. Now, let me ask you this. What if you make the right choice and things are still just seem like they're just not going well for you?
Maybe somebody else made a bad choice.
Okay. Okay, so what I want you to see in that is you can't control what others do. But you can control what you do.
Yes.
See, yes. Okay.
Your peace will astound them.
Okay.
Because in the presence of that shakiness, it puts it back and says, you know,
okay.
It puts it back on them. The ripple hits them instead of you.
Okay. What about this scripture here? I'm coming over here, okay? What about this scripture here? We do not repay evil for, but we do what? Good, okay? All right, yes, over here. Somebody had their hand up. Lynn? Oh.
Okay.
That situation, sure, yeah. Especially if it's an abuse situation, you need to remove yourself, okay?
The difference in a runner has been disciplined, they've been trained.
Mm-hmm.
So they know, and I'm sure they have been told what is ahead in that race. A lot of believers, we come to church, but we are not taught and trained, and even if the teaching and the training is there, sometimes we reject it. And mm-hmm. We say, well, I don't want to hear that, or I don't want to do that. That's mm-hmm. a choice.
Yeah,
but it is the church's responsibility, and they do that to train and let us know what is ahead. Mm-hmm. The difference is the marathon runner wants to run.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to get in that race.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to win.
He's been trained.
And so
yeah.
We have to have that same attitude. Is mm-hmm. Okay, I'm coming in here, and I'm going to allow myself to be taught. I'm going to allow myself to be trained, mm-hmm. so that I'm going to listen.
Mm-hmm.
A marathon runner, he listens. They're just wasting the trainer's time. He's listening. He wants to be there. He wants to run.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He wants to attain that prize. But sometimes we have to check our attitudes and say, why are you here? Because sometimes we feel like God is so loving and kind that we don't go through anything. So mm-hmm. when real life shows up, we get discouraged. We get mad at God. We get mad at people. And we quit.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to understand who sits on the throne. We have to understand who saved us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, y'all, and all of us, we have to learn to keep walking with God no matter what.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a joyful thing, you know, and that's what we have to understand is we count it all joy. See, knowing. Notice he said knowing that tribulation does what? It's working patience. James said count it all joy when you fall in various trials, knowing what? This. That the trial of your faith does what? Produce what? Patience. See? And what it's doing is, it's not geared. We're in a corrupt world, and we're in this world, but how many know we're not of it? Okay? And so what we do, we feel the same effects as a sinner does, but we have Christ in us. Okay? You say, well, how do you figure that? Because remember when Jesus taught the word, when he talked about the two foundations? He said, both of them hear the word, but the one that stood is the one that did what? Obeyed the word. See, both of us, we're all hearing the storms are coming, but guess what? The one that stands, Jesus said, they that hear these sayings of mine and do them, guess what's going to happen? The wind will blow, the storms will come, But they won't fall. Why? Because they're founding on the foundation. Okay? Yes, ma'am.
I thought about yesterday was Veterans Day.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched a clip on cooking and how soldiers were trained
mm-hmm.
on all different military.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever
branch, yeah.
The goal was those soldiers were sometimes told to do
mm-hmm.
what seemed like stupid things,
mm-hmm.
unimportant things. But the goal was to for them to learn to react in action,
mm-hmm.
not think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Be taught mm-hmm. to the point that when we are in trial
mm-hmm.
or tribulation, we'll react
mm-hmm.
in God's way
right.
and not think. But that comes with pounding and pounding and pounding,
mm-hmm.
training ourselves, our mm-hmm. mind, our will, our mm-hmm. emotion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's what faith's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We want to listen to John. Then next week, when a trial comes, you're trying to remember now. What did Jonah say? I'm supposed to rejoice.
No, no. And that's the discipline part, you know, and that's what we have to understand, you know, that the part of the word of disciple is another word. It comes from the word dis, which is a discipline one. See, but in the Western world, we treat it so lightly to where, well, you can do it if you want to. If you don't, you don't have to. Okay. But then when something, a tragedy comes, you know, we either quit or leave or give up, okay? But that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to keep what? Persevering, okay? Yes.
The foundation that we're living our life on does not change. It's on the Word.
Yes.
This will change.
It will. Exactly.
That's where our foundation is.
Yes. Okay. Yes, sir.
Gideon 300 is a perfect example. You know, you can have a big church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm.
You know, it winnowed down to get his 300 against
another massive enemy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Now, the key to all of this, what we're talking about, I kind of went a little bit longer than what I want to about perseverance. But what is the key to this? What is the key to let us run with endurance the race that is set before us? Okay. The key is this. What are you looking at? What are you fixing your eyes on? Okay. Verse 2 says, fixing our eyes. Notice it didn't say fixing my eye. It said fixing what? Our eye.
Mine says keeping.
Huh?
Mine says keeping.
Keeping. Okay. Keeping. Okay. Keeping your eyes on who? Jesus. The author and perfecter of faith. Who for the joy, that a word is again, joy, whom for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What is he saying here? Fixing the out of all what we talked about, where we gotta fix our eyes on who? Jesus. Why? Because he has already went through what we're facing. You said, nah, Jesus came and he died on the cross. But do you not know that Jesus was called a devil before he ever went to the cross? He was called a Beelzebub. He was called a friend of sinners. He was called a gluttler. I mean, he went through some things before he ever went to the cross. He lived a life just like you and I, being led by the Holy Spirit. You say, but he was God. No, he didn't live his life as God. He lived his life as a man, being led by the Holy Spirit. You say, well, how can you prove that? He said, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points was tempted like we are, yet without sin. So when we look at Jesus, what we behold, we what? We become. See, but the Bible says fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author, okay? And let me just share one thing with you here about the author, okay? The author is what? The beginning. Arul. It means originator. He's the originator, okay? So when we look to him, how many know we're learning from him? There's a scripture that goes along with that. It is an invitation for all of us. Do anybody know where it's at? You might get an A plus. Okay. Matthew's 11. What verse is it, John? I don't know. I think it's 28. Let's look at that. Then we'll close, okay? And then we'll pick up where we stopped right here next week, okay? Look into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author. What verse 28 say? Matthew 11, 28. Oh. Come. Come. The invitation is to every one of us. If you're going to learn and build on the foundation, you got to come to Jesus. Okay? Do anybody know anything about the word when the word come? Do that resonate anything else to you that Jesus told somebody to come? Huh? Who? There it is. What did he tell him? Come. And we'll finish this up next week, okay? Okay. All right, we'll finish that up. Yes?
I was just going to say, we read Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, but verse 3, I think, kind of sums up a lot of what everybody else was sharing.
Yes.
And it says, for consider him, and that's Jesus,
uh-huh,
who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Exactly. Exactly. And we'll continue there next week, okay? It's 15 after. We got to close, all right? So, Father, we thank you for our time together this morning. And, Lord, we just pray, God, that you will seal this word. We thank you, Lord God, that your spirit, Lord God, will move and manifest, Lord God, in the word that we preach today, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for every Sunday school class and the children's church. Father, we pray your blessings, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. If you want to, just read over Hebrews 12 and 1 through 3 and Matthew's 11 and verse 28. If you want to read through that, and we'll pick up there next week, okay?